this week I was thinking of something kind of along the lines of like how we use our tongue or how we assume things that other people say, and I was just thinking that we should, you know, it's not just what we say, it's also things that we don't say or what we think other people say that we need to be careful of as well. So I decided I'll just read James 3 and 4, which is kind of along those lines. I thought of looking up more, you know, verses maybe about assuming or kind of, but I ended up deciding just to read these two chapters. So James chapter 3 and 4. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I guess I'll just kind of backtrack through here. Like the verses, or the 4:11 kind of stuck out to me. Like, do not speak evil against one another. And I think that's something that's easy to do. And maybe sometimes even if you... like maybe someone says something, you don't get it clarified with them what they meant, then it's easy to speak evil about someone because they may not have meant what you perceive that they meant. Because, I mean, we all, you know, speak and think differently, and so we don't perceive the same things that someone else said. And if we don't understand it correctly, or, you know, rather than speaking evil about someone, you know, go talk with them directly and figure out if that's what they meant. And I think that's a good way. You know, like in James 1, it says, you know, where do quarrels and fights come among you? It doesn't exactly say it there, but like it's some of the, we've got to be careful with our words, and also know that not everyone is maybe as careful, or is not everyone is good at speaking, and so we need to be careful not to judge them according to what they say and figure out what they intended. Or, and it's also easy to say things at the moment if you get stirred up about something, and for myself, I tend to try not to speak if I feel kind of stirred, but then I don't know, maybe sometimes I feel like I should maybe speak, should have spoken, but once it's history, but so I guess that's all I have. Just wanted to encourage us to be able to communicate with one another and be able to work things out and have unity amongst the brethren. God bless you, and feel free to add or correct or whatever. I mean, whatever can be a blessing to the brothers.
Amen, Brother Walter. And always hits the spot. I mean, we all stumble in many ways. Brother Buddy gave a lesson on the tongue over a year ago that touched all bases. And I guess one sin that I'm guilty of is, I'm trying to do better, but it's a victimless crime, socially accepted, is grumbling. You know, I'm just grumbling, you know, grumbling. And we read in the book of Numbers, when God heard it, he was displeased, and he killed them. And then later on, they grumbled about manna, and he killed them. And so grumbling is, what grumbling does, I guess, you didn't touch on it, Walter, but it does, it's a gateway crime, a gateway sin to other ones, like, you know, cigarettes can lead to marijuana and coke and all that. And it also is contagious. Once I start it, Nicholas will do it, Dominic will start it. Everyone goes, it passes on. It shows us a true picture of our heart. We examine our heart, which alike, we're very unthankful. One of the fruits of the flesh, in Galatians, fruits of the flesh. And grumbling is terrible. And the remedy, I guess, is in everything give thanks. James 1, 2, 3, consider it all joy when you encompass various things. I know I get in traffic jams when I'm delivering, and you know, saying, well, man, is this guy ever going to move? And it's a grumble. And it doesn't have to be in the presence of you brethren. It's just when I say it in a In my car, in my bedroom, wherever you say it, by yourself, it's grumbling, and God hears it, and he's not pleased. And also, one other verse would be, Paul says in Philippians, rejoice again. Again, I say rejoice sometimes. No, he says always. In every thing, give thanks. Not everything for thanks, but in the positions we're in. And consider it all joy. And it is a joy to be here, and it was a good lesson. Where is David? The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Walter. It is well for us to be reminded of what James says about the tongue often, and I think there's many ways that you can sin with the tongue, but one of Walter's points was about how how we can assume things. We hear someone say something, and we have a perspective of what's said, and we add, you know, some assumptions to it, and off we go, and we don't really have what the person really intended or meant, and you know, from there from there we tell it to three people, and they tell it to three, and ends up being, you know, spreads like fire in the wind, and of course the more surprising the more surprising it is, the more juicy it is, the more people want to share it, and the faster it flies. So there's this story, and I've shared this before, maybe everybody remembers it, but there's this story in Joshua that I think is just a really good picture of what can so easily happen, and then in this story, thankfully, there's a, like, we can read the solution in it. So in the book of Joshua, after the battles had been fought for the land of Canaan, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh had wanted their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan. And they were granted that, but they had to go over and help the others fight their battles and get their inheritance, and then they were allowed to go back and enjoy their land. And so once they went back, they decided, you know what, let's build an altar here on this side of the Jordan to remind us that, you know, we are one with the rest of Israel. This is just something for us to tell our children, and a kind of a sign to tell our children that we worship the same God as the other tribes on the other side of the Jordan. Well, the people, the other 10 or 9.5 tribes, somebody saw this altar being built and was like, whoa. As soon as they're left to themselves, they're going to build their own altar. They're going to do their own thing. They're separating themselves from us. This is a problem. And they spread it around. And I think it says, everybody girded themselves and was ready to go wage war against the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. And when the word came to Joshua, he said, well, first thing we do is we go speak with them. And so I think Eleazar and Phinehas or somebody went over to speak with them and say, what is this thing that we hear? What are you doing? You built this altar. This is a problem. And they said, well, wait a minute. This is why we built the altar. And they gave their motives for it. And the two people that went over to investigate were like, oh, okay. This is a totally different perspective. There was good motives behind it. There was, there's nothing wrong with what you did. Like we thought you were establishing a division between us, and you were actually doing something to establish that you're united with us. And when they came back, like, they reported this, and it was received. But that's just a real true story and striking example of, like, just how things go with us humans. We We do well to communicate and not to do a bunch of assuming before we've communicated. So anyway, thanks.